It is Tuesday, June the 12th, and it is time for Campus Connection. I have school officials joining me here in the studio, Superintendent Erica Kluepainter and School Board President Marla Tomsky. Hi.
Hello.
Ooh, let me turn on your mics. That'll help. Okay, so we're going to be talking about the school board meeting that's happening tonight. That starts at 7 p.m. in the high school library, and then there's something before that at 6:30, student recognition and reception in the Commons.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we'll be recognizing track and field. They finish their season after we do the big one in May, so it's nice to recognize them in the current year instead of waiting until the fall.
Yeah, it's always a tricky one because you have seniors, you know, in that group, but their state competition happens the weekend of Memorial Weekend, so we always only have a couple more days of school left, so they always, it ends up like sometimes we recognize them in the fall and the seniors are already gone, and so anyway.
Yeah, it's hard to squeeze everything in.
We'll see who shows up, and we'll be happy to recognize them. So.
Yeah, and I was thinking, well, maybe it'll be a light agenda because it's the summer, but not really. There's a lot to cover tonight.
Kind of kept growing as time went along. I know it's, maybe it's just because we get, I don't know, we're able to breathe after the end of the year or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It seems like we ended up with more things on there than normal. So, yeah.
But there are some staff on vacation. Are the school administrators gone for the summer?
Rick is still working this week some, but he's not officially here, but he'll be here because, you know, he's working on some of these handbooks and things. They were kind of right down to the end with that. Some changes, getting some feedback from staff. So he's here for probably another day or so, and Mrs. Toland is done, and they'll be back in August, and we'll have our skeleton crew over here at the district office, and
okay,
yeah, it's quieting down.
And then the school board, is this the only meeting of the summer? Is the next, is there one in July? No, so this is it until August.
Yep, we take the month of July off.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So since this is going to be the last one for the next couple months, let's look at the agenda. Perfect timing, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
We have another school board member joining us, Sarah Holmgren.
We're all running
around.
Let's just
set up that mic while we start talking about the agenda. So I guess it looks like there's going to be a report on finances, including, so the finance director is here, and there's some budget revisions. Anything significant in that you know of?
There's a couple things that have the Department of Ed, Alaska Department of Ed, does an audit every year. They did go through, they found a couple of variances, and of course our fabulous Karen cannot stand that there are any variances, and I think she is expecting maybe a public flogging, but she doesn't deserve that, so anyway, she's just funny about things, but we love her. So she wants full disclosure about anything that ever comes through, you know. So anyway, one of the things that happened is we penciled in one of our summer tech assistants, and we put him in one part of the budget but didn't actually put the dollar figure in the rest of the budget. So we needed to do that. And then we also had an increase in maintenance department for health insurance costs. So she just wants it all out there. So anyway. Nothing too significant there in that sense. But.
And you will be looking at personnel hire for the summer and for next year. Anything new there?
Nothing really too new. We typically do have some temporary people that help us out in the summer for different projects. And so one of the things that we've done this year that's a little different than the last couple of years is we combined our summer food service program, which is sponsored through USDA and is all reimbursable, with Carol Larson, who's the assistant to Carly Johnson. She actually is doing that, but it's not a full-time job. So she's doing that half the day, and then she's actually doing custodial, summer custodial work for half the day. So that was something different that works out. You know, sometimes it's hard to find part-time people, and she's already one of our own and a great employee. So that worked for her and for us as well. And our wonderful Carly is going to be having a baby in August, so she was a little busy. So she's not doing summer food service. So that worked out. And then we are also hiring, which we've done the last couple of years, one of our aides who does some summer maintenance work for us, Jake Wilkinson. He works in the school during the year, and then he does maintenance custodial summer work, and that's not new. And then we have our summer school, our special ed summer school. Kelly Peterson does some work with some of our students actually a lot of it is in the pool and working with occupational therapy goals and physical therapy goals. That's what she does. And Eliza Wormack is doing summer reading. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we're kind of talking about aid positions, but one thing that's on the agenda that you will be considering is a pay increase for substitutes, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody want to talk about your thoughts on that? How much are they getting paid? It's I think the minimum wage in Alaska is just about $10, but it's a little under. It's like $9.84 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what substitutes are getting paid these days. Of course, it's probably not enough, but, you know.
Yeah, it's not. It's been about 8 years, I think, since we've increased the rate at all for our certified subs. So our teacher sub rate has been $130, and we would like to increase it to $140. I believe that I think Juno's rate is more like $180 a day. It's not still comparable, but it's we want to try to inch it up a little bit if we can. It's been, like I say, 8 years. So, and we have some pretty dedicated certified teachers who are, we call them our volunteer brigade. That a lot of retired teachers that stay in the community here that save our bacon a lot of the time. So, and they're not complaining per se, but we also have people who, you know, if you're trying to pay for childcare and trying to make decisions about that, it's time.
So when you say the rate, what is it? Can you give us an idea of how that translates to dollars?
That is, they're expected to come for the full day of work. So if they're expected to be there at 7:45 and work, you know, through 3:15, 3:30, you know, a full day. And so it translates out to be about probably $17 an hour. I think we were trying to, maybe Sarah.
I did the math when we were discussing. With the increase of around 18 or 19, close mm-hmm. to.
Yeah.
If you did 7.5 hours, because they only get a half hour lunch.
Right.
And that's someone who has a teaching certificate.
Right. So you've got, that's below what a lot of even jobs in the community. Of course, those come with benefits, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that's for
it's below $20 an hour for a certified teacher to substitute teach.
Yeah.
So 18 or 19 for them, and then what about the substitute teachers that aren't certified? Are they going to get an increase possibly?
They're going to get, we'd like to, that is a non-certified pay rate increase, and that is for people who, what we do with that is sometimes we have, especially in small towns, you have people who might have a bachelor's degree in something else, and so typically what we'll do is have them, if they're interested in subbing, we have them start as a classified sub, like for some of our paraprofessionals. And then if they feel comfortable and we feel comfortable after a certain amount of time, they sometimes we have people who have those degrees and then they're interested in maybe helping out with music, you know, like maybe might be one of those places. It's kind of hard to find people sometimes who feel comfortable doing those kind of subbing positions. And we've had that happen before where we've had somebody that has a degree in, you know, botany, but they have this other background, and so they feel after a certain amount of time, kind of like a probationary period, they feel comfortable, and we do, and then they come in. They can't be paid at the same rate, but they can be paid. They have been paid at $95 a day, so we'd like to increase that to $100. So that's still substantially less than it's probably about $15, $16 an hour. Anyway, okay. But again, just to try to.
And then the
try to keep up a little bit.
Certified staff, that's inching up from just above, sounds like minimum wage, to maybe.
Oh, for classified?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's for our paraprofessionals. If we have people subbing for our aides, that has been $10.75 an hour. And that one has been difficult, too, because, again, that happens where people aren't able, if they have other, you know, children or other things, you can't even afford daycare on that. So. We'd like to bump that up to $11.50 an hour.
And I think recognizing that a lot of times those substitute, it's not always a planned substitute situation. A lot of times it's, hey, can you come to work in 45 minutes or half an hour? Because we have someone who's gotten sick in the middle of the night and we need to fill their position. And so I think there's that added, you know, it's a temp position. If you lived in a big city and you work for a temp agency, you usually have some heads up when you're going to a new job, and a lot of times it's also asking these people to drop everything on a moment's notice to come fill in for a staff member that is needs to be home or elsewhere.
So on the table are raises, possible raises. You'll be considering them, discussing them tonight for those three different kinds of employees?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And is there expected to be a vote, maybe? And, like, could it be implemented, say, for next school year? Is that what you're looking at?
Yep, that's the goal. If, you know, if the board is in favor of that, and or if they decide they want to look at it a different way, make a different recommendation, it could be voted on tonight. It doesn't require more than, you know, it could be decided tonight, or they might want to table it till August and maybe want more information or something, and they might ask for that. I don't know. But my goal would be to have it in place for when the school year starts. It's time. we have a lot of people who do that, just what Sarah said, come in at 7:45 in the morning and they punt, they go, they jump in, and yeah, it'd be nice to just recognize those efforts a little bit more than we have, and they haven't changed at all. Most people won't work anywhere for 10.75, most adults. So anyway, it's just time to recognize that, I think. So,
anybody else have a comment about that before we move on? No? Okay. There will be a presentation tonight, and it's going to be on digital learning. The high school has decided to go online for foreign language this coming year, not hire a teacher that's specifically for foreign language, but there's an academy in Ketchikan that does online courses, and so students here in Petersburg that want to learn the foreign language can go online. And what's the presentation going to be like tonight?
Well, the presentation tonight is we're going to talk a little bit about the logistics of how we talked with kids this spring for forecasting for what courses they might be interested in. So that's one positive thing about having these different opportunities online, is that you can have more options. So that's one of the things that people, we have some kids that are already signed up right now for American Sign Language as their language, and that's through VHS, which is some virtual high school, which is actually an online instructional program that we currently have. The district has for actually about 10 years now. We've purchased about 25 seats. You also have to commit a staff member on your end, which in our district is Carissa Cotta, and she is our local person who touches bases with kids, you know, checks in with their grades, helps communicate with the teachers online, and then also provides some instruction here digitally. So you kind of have, it's a shared relationship. The Digital Academy is out of Ketchikan, and that's the one that we're going to talk about and probably show a little bit tonight, just so people can see what it looks like. I think there's a lot of concern about, you know, is it just kids sitting in front of a computer and, like, filling in, you know, bubbles on a sheet, or, you know, it's a language, right? So there's got to be some interaction. So there is, I mean, because the Digital Academy, what we like about it is that there's actual teachers on the other end. There are actual real people, real instructors, you know, associated with it. There are, there's visual components to it. There's actual language, you know, components to it. And then the other thing that we're doing on our end is we're going to make sure, well, they require actually that you have somebody on your end, to help, again, with helping the kids stay on track. Do you need some help? Can we help hook you up with anything? You know, are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you communicating with your teacher? You know, all those kinds of things. Because it's a different way of learning. And so I know there's some kids who are, they totally, that's, it works for them. It's great. But we're going to have some that I think it'll be a challenge for them. So we have a couple people that we're designating in the high school. Mr. Dorman will talk a little bit more about that tonight. To be on site, you know, to say, how's it really going? Can we help you, you know, and keep them on track. So,
are there going to be enough students in one of the classes to kind of look like a regular classroom where there's, say, you know, 10 students wanting to take Spanish 1 or something, so they would all be in the classroom at the same time, watching the same teacher?
Yes, and that is actually a really good point, because there's a group of kids that are interested, for example, most of the kids have signed up for Spanish 1 or Spanish 2. We have about 22 kids, I think. I think that's the last number I saw. There was about 5 kids who were interested in French. They are working together to coordinate their schedules, to find the block of time that they might all be available during the school day to be taking that class. And they're that's what they're planning to do. They're planning to work, you know, they're planning to have a time that they're going to be together, whether it's in one of the study rooms off the library, whether they're going to be in an actual one of the coordinators' classrooms, you know, so that there's an adult still there kind of touching base. But then they'll have each other, you know, to be part of that. They'll each be logged in and doing their own thing, but, I mean, have their own, you know, their own course part of it, but having each other to have a group, a study group. And they're used to doing that here. I think that's one advantage to being the kids, the way they travel so much and have their laptop. You know, they're used to doing that. That's what they do. You know, they're used to having their study groups and they figure out their times and they work together. And yeah, so it's a little bit of it makes us a little bit uneasy, you know, because it's just a different way of offering, just that there isn't sort of another local, you know, option, which is different for us. We're used to kind of having both. And so it's going to be a bit of an experiment. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts.
So right now there's French, Spanish, and sign language that kids are showing interest in.
And Latin. two kids, I think, that are doing VHS. Mara, did you love Latin? She's laughing.
No, my husband took Latin in high school. That's great.
Yeah, an option. And one other student who was potentially interested in Russian, I think. And I will say, what we've also done is we do have several people, because I know this is one of the concerns parents have, so I guess I do want to say this out loud. We have actually those three of those languages, not Latin, but maybe now we know Mara's husband could be an expert in Latin. But we do have, like, the new teacher that we just hired in the middle school, Mr. Petruski. He has a Spanish background. We have a current aide who's actually a certified teacher, Mrs. Ward, Iwana Ward, who actually speaks French. We have, I'm going through my list, who else was I just thinking? Larissa McDonald speaks Russian. So we actually have some people in our building who are in different positions, aides and different things, who, for example, that group of kids that was interested in the French class, they've already kind of talked with Mrs. Ward, and we've actually talked with Mr. Dormer about that. Is there a way that we can coordinate a time where she can be... She's not a teacher, but I mean, at that point, acting as a teacher for French, but she would be a point of contact. She might be able, maybe we arrange, you know, an hour or two a week of a study time where they can have a real person here, you know, to practice and, you know, do it in a real setting. So that's also something that I think I just wanted to, you know, put out there. We're doing that with Mr. Petruski as well. He has a Spanish background. If there were some kids who were really struggling with, you know, maybe working through the system that way, we're going to try to work out some times within the kids' days that they could connect with a teacher or an adult here, you know, on site. So, yeah, that seemed to be something parents and kids were concerned about. So that's one of our ideas about that. So.
Okay. And we will be airing the meeting live tonight, so people can also tune into the presentation if they want to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hear more about that, too.
Absolutely.
What else is on the agenda? Looks like the survey results from district parent community from the year 2018. Is that something that happens every year? It's an annual survey, and you just kind of look back at what people think, how the year was?
Yep. We survey the community, and we ask parents and community members to fill out the survey about how they feel. Each school has a different set of questions. How they feel about it. It is so difficult because the turn-in numbers are low, mm-hmm. and they're traditionally low, and so it somewhat skews the results. Because there's certainly, you don't get a good cross-section when results are that low. I mean, that's with any research that you do. So it's difficult to pinpoint that this survey is the true feeling of what's going on at the schools.
Yeah, I would say that's true. I mean, there's always something you can get from any sort of information. You know, you can always read comments and certainly follow up if there's anything specific, but sometimes you don't get a lot of good specific information. So, you know, if you're asking if there's 25 people that respond about things like bullying and harassment in the school, you certainly want to pay attention if there's a large number of even out of 25, there was nothing hugely disturbing that showed up, but again, it's such a small cross section that it's kind of hard to do that. So I don't know. We talk about different ways to get feedback that way. I don't know.
Is it voluntary?
It is.
Like staff, for staff too?
Mm-hmm,
voluntary
for anybody.
Survey?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody. And we tried to put it out. We always try to put it out on Facebook or, you know, just different places. But, you know, but I also know people take a lot of surveys, you know, like I just saw, I get them all the time too, you know, from WAVE, and everybody has good intentions. I do too, you know, to take them. You want to be helpful and, you know, give feedback. But I don't know, it's hard. It's hard to know quite the best way to, you know, to do that. I guess one of the things I think could be an opportunity is some of our federal grants now under the Every Student Succeeds Act, ESSA, they require a lot more outreach in that sense. And so I do know that's become a bigger part of plans for things like even migrant education, you know, Title I reading. I know we're required to do it for our VOTEC programs too, but actually being more intentional and maybe having more of those throughout the year would be helpful. You know, finding, actually kind of just saying, come in and sit down and talk, you know, with us. Tell us what things are working or not working, or, you know, what would you like to see, or what are things that you might want to offer as a community, you know, member or business, that kind of thing. And often when we have those meetings, that's what happens. People might have a question or a concern, but then they also have things they want to offer, I guess. Found that during strategic planning, I think, too, you know.
Yeah, and a big part of our strategic plan is more community involvement and more community involvement in the education of our kids and how important the kids being a part of the community is. So I think that will come with some of the groups that are being formed up to follow through with some of the plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true, too.
So on the agenda also is board resignation. Does that mean somebody is leaving the board?
Yep. Janine Gibbons turned in her resignation. I think she found that she was going to be traveling much more than she expected to be able to commit to the time that it takes being on a school board. So,
So what does that mean for the board going forward?
It means that we will eventually open a seat where people can turn in letters of interest. Mm-hmm. And if we get a few letters of interest, then we'll set up interviews to fill that seat, and then they will remain in that seat until the October election.
Oh, okay. So just somebody could try it out if they wanted.
Mm-hmm. It might be a nice time to try it out, just right in the fall.
Two meetings.
Two
August
meetings.
August and September.
August and September to try it out, and then they can run in October.
Huh?
Isn't the election
in
October?
Election?
That's true. They would probably finish the... Well, no. I don't know.
Two for sure, maybe three.
Yeah. We don't have a meeting in July.
And actually, I think both of these two lovely ladies here ended up on the board in that same way.
Yeah, I filled an empty seat.
I did too, back when Barb Stelz had to step down.
That's right.
February.
Yeah.
So it's a decade ago.
It's a good opportunity. And we've had several people that's how they've done it, you know. So we'll probably put it out. I would say this week we'll put something out. We usually put something in the paper and put it out there that there's like 30 days, I think, you have to put it out. And people can just bring a letter in if they want to come ask Mara or Sarah or anybody or me, you know, if they want to talk about what does it mean, what does it look like. We're happy to answer questions or encourage people to put a letter in if they're interested. And it's a pretty great group of people.
All right. Well, with that, thank you so much for being here today to talk about the meeting tonight. And again, that meeting starts at 7:00 in the high school library. It is open to the public. There's also a student recognition and reception happening at 6:30 before the meeting in the Commons. And KFSK will be broadcasting the meeting, so you can also tune in and listen to it that way.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. We really appreciate it. And I think listeners appreciate that they get to hear it from home.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you all.
Thank you.
We'll see you tonight.
Thanks.